It is Tuesday, September 11th, 2012. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. The annual Komen Pink Ribbon Luncheon, Shoo Away Breast Cancer, will be held Thursday, September 27th at Northwest Arkansas Convention Center in Springdale. This fundraiser will include lunch and a survivor fashion show benefiting Komen Ozark. Tickets and more information are available at KomenOzark.org or by calling 750-PINK.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, Cooperative Emergency Outreach is looking for a new home. The agency is an all-volunteer organization that helps thousands of residents in Washington County each year. Plus, the 11th anniversary of the attacks in New York, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania are remembered on the University of Arkansas campus this morning.
But first, Governor Mike Beebe has declared today a day of remembrance. According to a press release issued yesterday, the Arkansas and U.S. flags on state property will fly at half staff as part of Patriot Day and National Day of Service and Remembrance, and to honor the individuals who were killed on this day 11 years ago today. According to the proclamation, September 11th was designated by the U.S. Congress in December of 2001 as Patriot Day, and on April 21st of 2009, President Barack Obama signed into law the Edward M. Kennedy Serve America Act. The act included language that officially established September 11th as an annually recognized National Day of Service.
A new senior activity center will soon be available to senior citizens living in and around Lowell. Mayor Eldon Long says the 5,000-square-foot senior center will open in about a month.
It's going to bring to the city an avenue and a way of our elderly in the city of enjoying meals and games and recreation and all types of wellness programs are going to be available. And so we are quite excited about that. We are not only just excited about it, we're looking forward to impacting this area in a way where other people outside of Lowell can also use this facility.
The mayor says construction of the center was made possible through a $300,000 grant from the Office of Human Concern, a $150,000 contribution from J.B. Hunt Transportation, a $50,000 contribution from the Walmart Family Foundation, as well as other funding campaigns. He also says the Area Agency on Aging, which has offices in Fayetteville, Bentonville, Huntsville, Harrison, and Berryville, has hired a director for the center who will be in charge of developing programs. Not only will the new center be larger than the space currently used at Lowell City Hall, but it will be available at more times throughout the week.
They have been utilizing City Hall here in Lowell 3 days a week for the past several years. And so now they're going to have a facility that's open 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. So you can imagine with the additional people that will be coming, they're going to have to create a lot more activities to keep them occupied and things for them to do. I know they're planning on some pool tables and the facility and some additional games, some exercise equipment, those types of things. So at this point, I think the sky's the limit.
Mayor Long says though the new center is located by Ward Nail Park, the new building is being built with enough room to expand with an additional 6,500 to 7,000 square feet, if necessary, in the future.
Crawford County officials are still trying to figure out the best way to deal with an overflowing jail population. A possible solution recently proposed by Crawford County Sheriff Ron Brown would involve building a new jail using modular construction. And he says the modular construction will leave room for expansion later if needed.
My plan would leave the facility where we could add on to it later on, whether it's 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, but that option would be open. Where we're at now, the facility was designed to be a 64-bed facility. You know, we were able to turn three of the four exercise yards into barracks-type housing, and it only added another 24 beds. So my current jail right now is at 88. You know, it was never designed to add on. With the modular type and building the proper infrastructure, you can, at low cost, add on 50 beds, 100 beds, 200 beds, 300 beds, whatever you need as time goes.
Officials in Van Buren previously opposed a plan to build onto the current county jail, which is located in Van Buren's downtown historic district. Brown says he is optimistic that the building with modular construction, which uses prefabricated cell pods, could save money over previous expansion plans.
I've been told that it's more efficient and definitely costs less, and I'm hoping that once we meet with these design teams that, you know, the proposal that I had to reconstruct the facility we're in now is about $24.8 million, and I'm hoping that will reduce the cost quite a bit doing it this way. That's my goal.
Brown says he has proposed that the quorum court approve construction plans by November. He says if all goes well, voters could see a special sales tax election on the issue in March of next year.
More than 2 years after flash flooding resulted in 20 lost lives, the U.S. Forest Service is proposing changes in the long-term management and use of the Albert Pike Recreation Area near Hot Springs. According to a release yesterday, the Forest Service is proposing to permanently close the area to overnight camping. The plan would involve maintaining loops A through D for day use only. Even with the rain last week and cooler temperatures projected for this week, fire crews are still battling blazes across Arkansas. Mark Couturier with the Arkansas Forestry Commission says the drought situation in the state has lessened and the wildfires are not as intense, but he says they do continue.
We're still having fires. They're not as bad as what we saw in July and August. Just over the weekend, we had 5 for 67 acres. Saturday, we had 2 for 33 acres. And that was after an inch and a half rain over most of the state. Until we get 3 to 5 inches of rain like we did through Isaac for 2 or 3 days, the fire danger is still going to be there.
Couturier says fire activity remains high in portions of Arkansas that remain dry, including the western part of the state that borders Oklahoma and in the southwest and southeast corners of the state.
The Razorback men's and women's golf teams were hard at work Monday. The men's team ended yesterday with the day's best score at 5 over par. The Razorbacks received third place overall for their performance at the Gopher Invitational at Spring Hill Golf Club in Minnesota. Third-ranked California and SMU finished in first and second, respectively. The men's team will return to the course September 23rd, when the team will begin competition in the Golf Week PNG Preview at Capital City Club in Atlanta, Georgia. The women's golf team opened its season Monday. The team finished the day tied for second place after the first round of the Old Waverly Invitational. The Razorbacks are 4 strokes behind the leading Tulane. Second round competition continues today in West Point, Mississippi.
Clear tonight. Lows will be in the upper 50s to lower 60s. Tomorrow, clear. High of 86 in northwest Arkansas, in the lower 90s for the Arkansas River Valley tomorrow. And tomorrow night, clear. Lows in the lower 60s and a 20% chance of rain. This is Ozarks at Large. For nearly 17 years, there has been a weekday routine near downtown Fayetteville. People seeking help in a time of crisis have been coming to a small building, a former church, next to City Hospital. But the agency, called Cooperative Emergency Outreach and affectionately known as CEO, will have to find a new location soon. The property is now up for sale. Annabelle Steelman-Berry has been with Cooperative Emergency Outreach for about 16 years, and she's the publicity chair for the operation. During an after-hours visit at the CEO building last week, she explained what happens every Monday through Friday afternoon.
We open at 1 o'clock. Sometimes if you drive by here at 11:30 or 12, you'll see 10 or 12 people lined up outside because they know that we see people in the order that they arrive.
When the door opens at 1 o'clock each afternoon, clients take numbers and fill out paperwork. Then a trained interviewer escorts clients to a private room to find out more about that person's situation. Annabelle says the needs vary, but can be very serious.
The car broke down, and they had to spend money to repair the car, and so there's not quite enough money to pay the electric bill. Or they're out of work, but they have a job interview in Rogers, but don't have the gasoline to get there. Whether it's a job loss, maybe somebody had a medical emergency, they had to pay a doctor bill, and there wasn't quite enough to pay the rent.
From there, the interviewer advises the agency's daily manager, who will then decide what action can be taken to help.
We have a limited amount of funds each day, so if they have a very large bill, we can't pay the whole thing, but what we will do is pay a part of that. Occasionally, we will get on the phone and call the electric company or call the gas company and say, okay, what will it take not to have this shut off?
The CEO also has a food room with non-perishable items donated by 21 churches, businesses like Tyson Foods, other local agencies like the Rice Depot and the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank, and from food drives by postal workers, Boy Scouts, and the 21 sponsoring churches. There are also non-food items like soap and cleaners, toothbrushes, that can be given to clients. And everybody who works here, from the interviewers to the daily manager to the people preparing food packages, volunteers their time. Retirees, teachers for a couple of weeks during the summer, and others. Nobody is paid.
Yeah, it is amazing. We have, any given day, we have 9 volunteers. We have a receptionist, 4 interviewers, a daily manager, somebody on the computer, because that's how the checks are written, and then 2 people working in the food room.
All volunteer.
All volunteer.
The complete lack of a payroll, the CEO has no CEO, has helped keep the administrative costs at a bare minimum, as has the fact that since 1995, the owner of the current CEO building, Washington Regional Medical Center, has allowed CEO to use the facility completely rent-free.
So 96% of what we receive goes out to our clients, and that's why we're really hoping that, I don't know, what will happen if we could find someplace that we had low or no rent, it would be wonderful because, of course, then we have more to give to our clients.
Annabelle says the agency, as well as the board of directors, has been grateful for the 17 years of free space, but they are now trying to figure out where they'll move to next so they can be ready when the city hospital property is sold. The current location has worked well because it's relatively close to Seven Hills Homeless Shelter, the bus lines, and the Salvation Army. Cooperative Emergency Outreach serves Washington County, south of Northwest Arkansas Mall. It's all of Fayetteville and the smaller towns like Lincoln, Winslow, Goshen, and Prairie Grove. Last week, when Annabelle was giving a tour of the current CEO home, the agency had helped 86 people the previous 3 days in some way.
If you add in last week, which would be a full week, plus these 3 days, it would be 300 people.
Cooperative Emergency Outreach volunteers and board members have helped the agency grow since it opened in December 1990 in the old Washington County Jail near the courthouse. At the beginning, there were 12 sponsoring churches, now 21. Annabelle says as the region grew, so did donations and the amount of money and food available to dispense to clients. She says the effort to find a new place has only been active for a couple of weeks, so she says there are likely options yet to be explored.
We're going a lot on faith that something will come up. You know, maybe there's somebody out there who needs a really big tax deduction and they're willing to, you know, give us a building.
She's been involved with Cooperative Emergency Outreach since 1995 or 96 and says she's seen firsthand that volunteers will be able to help put in place any adaptations that are needed in the next building, like walls or carpeting. There is a concern, she says, among volunteers and board members that a new location without free rent might cut into what the organization can do. And when asked about the worst-case scenario, no new location, she sighs.
There would be a lot of people that no longer had a needed resource. I really can't imagine that with 21 churches plus the community, hopefully the community will also, you know, if somebody has an idea, you know, they get in touch and say, hey, I know where there's a building that would be appropriate. But I can't even imagine that. I just can't imagine that something, you know, wouldn't come up.
Annabelle Steelman-Berry is a volunteer at Cooperative Emergency Outreach in Fayetteville and is the agency's chair of publicity. Last year, Cooperative Emergency Outreach says it distributed more than $165,000 to clients for assistance with rent, utilities, and other needs. Most of the gifts, they say, were in amounts of fewer than $100. Nearly another $120,000 in food was given to more than 6,000 families last year. You can learn more about the agency at ceofayetteville.org.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
This morning, just before 10 o'clock, students, faculty, staff, and administrators gathered inside the Arkansas Union on the University of Arkansas campus to note the attacks on American soil 11 years ago today that brought the country to a standstill. This morning's observation was put together by the All Islam Students Association and the Multicultural Center at the university. The group, All Islam Student Association, was formed after the 9/11 attacks to serve as an advocate that Islam is a peaceful religion and does not support the acts of religious extremists. The commemoration today lasted just under 15 minutes, and it coincided with a blood drive on the campus sponsored by the All Islam Student Association. In these excerpts from this morning's event, we hear Professor Hamid Nassim as he read from and then later translated from the Quran. We'll also hear the University of Arkansas Chancellor David Gearhart and Charles Robinson, the University of Arkansas Vice Provost for Diversity.
So I will read the translation. It says, on account of this, we prescribed for the children of Israel that whosoever killed a person, unless it be for killing a person or for creating disorder in the land, it shall be as if he had killed all mankind. And whosoever saves a life, it shall be as if he has given life to all mankind. Our messengers had indeed come to them with clear teachings, but then many of them commit excesses in the land. And I hope that you will see this blood drive that is being held to save lives. And if we save one life, it is as though we are saving the entire mankind.
Now, it should not go unnoticed that the group in charge of organizing and planning this blood drive is our university's Muslim student organization. For some people in this country, and indeed, unfortunately, the world, the blame for 9/11 has been placed not on a handful of religious extremists, but at the feet of an entire religion. This, of course, is tragic and makes no sense. Islam is a rich and long-standing religion with over 1.6 billion practitioners worldwide. Indeed, more than 2.5 million Americans observe the Muslim faith. To blame the unthinkable acts of 9/11 on the religion practiced by 23% of the world's population is in itself a type of extremism fueled by illogical hatred. That is why I am heartened by the active steps taken by All Islam Students and the association, All Islam Student Association, to show our campus that all Americans mourn the events of September 11th.
But there is no greater power than the collectivism and the unity of all humanity. And I think that this program reflects the university's position that we embrace the united way of all humanity, that all of us have purpose, and that when we stand together, there is nothing that we cannot do to uplift humanity. So that in this moment of silence, I want us to reflect about the importance of this hour and dedicate ourselves to the notion that we are determined to be the type of people that always uplift society and unify people. Let's have a moment of silence, please. Thank you.
Charles Robinson, the University of Arkansas Vice Provost for Diversity, speaking this morning on the University of Arkansas campus during a commemoration of the attacks 11 years ago today. We also heard from University Chancellor David Gearhart and from Professor Hamid Nassim from the university's College of Engineering.
This is Ozarks at Large.
This week on This American Life, our whole education system is organized around the idea that if you do well at tests, then you have learned what you need to be successful. So, how do you explain all the people who pass the standardized test just fine, and then fail.
So you say something's missing. There's something out there in the universe that we're missing, and that dark matter, what could it be?
Finding that dark matter and what kids need this week.
This American Life, Saturdays at 6 a.m. and Sunday mornings at 10.
There's been a lot of talk in Arkansas about cutting grocery taxes, income taxes, business taxes, a lot of taxes. Arkansas's top economic development chief, Grant Tenniel, has been in the thick of that discussion with legislators and business leaders. Roby Brock from our content partner, TalkBusiness.net, recently caught up with Grant Tenniel to have him clarify his thoughts.
You spoke before legislative committee a little over a week ago, talking to them about some things that you think needs to happen in terms of tax policy for the state. Well, what's your message?
Well, my message really is that if some members of the legislature are looking at tax policy changes that could be made to improve the business climate in the state of Arkansas, and their focus so far has been on the income tax, both corporate and personal. My message has been, if you're going to look, let's look at some taxes that may be A, more affordable, and B, may have a bigger impact on business. The one I specifically spoke about was the sales tax on parts and equipment for manufacturers.
And you have also said, too, that cash is king. And so there are times where just having plain old-fashioned cash is better than having any kind of tax cut or tax policy change.
Absolutely. And I've said it a number of times, but we haven't had in the 5+ years that I've been involved, a company say to us, we're not going to locate in Arkansas because of the tax treatment of our sector. We have had companies tell us, we're not going to locate in Arkansas because we don't believe you have the workforce to do the jobs we need to do. And we have had companies say, we're not going to locate in Arkansas because you lack the infrastructure we need to be effective. So a big part of my message has been, before we make big changes to the tax structure in Arkansas and have a huge impact on the Treasury, we need to think about the effect we're going to have on the Quick Action Closing Fund and other incentives that we make available to companies.
How do your needs as director of AEDC and your pursuit of economic development projects, how do they jive with the governor's clearly emphasized policy of wanting to reduce the grocery tax cut?
Well, this administration's first priority tax-wise is the final elimination of the grocery tax. It is the most broad-based tax cut we can provide to the people of Arkansas. It's the fairest. There is absolutely no question about that. Obviously, I support the governor in that effort. My intention has been to try and shape the debate that's going on among legislators about further tax cuts. I don't know if we can afford them. But if there's going to be a debate, I'd like to be able to shape it.
When I look at some of the economic indicators in the economy right now in Arkansas, across the nation, it's still kind of a very mixed bag. You've got 2 steps forward, 1.5 steps backwards in, you know, whatever you're looking at, trucking, housing, unemployment, et cetera, et cetera. What's your take on the pipeline right now and how some of that economic data is shaping economic activity in terms of potential prospects?
Well, it's funny, you used the descriptive analogy that I use all the time. I tell people that our world looks like a sailboat race right now. We've got people sailing up toward the starting line, and then they turn back, and then they sail back up toward the starting line, and then they turn back. And we're all seemingly waiting for some kind of gun to go off to get things started. And I don't know what that's going to be. I have a feeling that whatever the outcome in November, people in the business community are going to have to start moving. We've got a number of projects that we're working right now that are overdue. as far as the company is concerned. They've waited and waited and waited, trying to let the economic weather clear a bit, and it hasn't. But we're looking at projects that are critical to the ongoing operations of these companies. At some point, they've got to pull the trigger. And so what it's going to take to get that done, I don't know.
Any outcome, anything to kind of bring us up to speed from your trips to China, trips to France from earlier this year? Is there anything to update?
Without getting too specific about the China trip, I will say that we have a number of companies that have scheduled visits who will be here in the state in the next couple of months, hopefully ready to take that next step.
Roby Brock from TalkBusiness.net talked with Grant Tenniel, the director of Arkansas's Development Commission, last week. Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from four offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And Verizon, offering a wide selection of productivity-enhancing tablets for small business, including the Apple iPad. More information at a Verizon Communications store near you or online at vzw.com/small business. And CEG Partners, using empirical data to better understand your customers' experiences and their loyalties. More information at cegpartners.com.
It is Tuesday, the 11th day of September, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers, with us.
And this is our Here, Leave Town, Go Do Something Fun segment.
We try to do that once a week.
The legendary guitarist Slash.
From Guns N' Roses.
And Velvet Revolver is going to be touring in support of his new album, Apocalyptic Love. He has tour stops September 27th at the Midland Theater in Kansas City and September 29th at the O'Reilly Family Event Center in Springfield, Missouri. You can visit slashonline.com to find out more.
His website should have a slash, but anyway.
I just come here, folks. Also, musically speaking, tomorrow, yes. Hall & Oates at the Hard Rock Casino in Tulsa.
Hmm.
Saturday, Heart at the Hard Rock Casino in Tulsa. Also Saturday, Lynyrd Skynyrd, what's left of them, at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in St. Louis. September 19th, Bryan Adams is at the Uptown Theater in Kansas City.
Yes.
September 22nd, Al Jarreau is at the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center in Little Rock. And September 27th, Rush is at the Scott Trade Center in St. Louis. And one more just for Antoinette.
Yes.
September 25th.
Uh-huh.
Pretty Lights is at the Brady Theater in
Excellent.
Tulsa.
Excellent. Fun time. Go. Fun so, dance party.
Yeah.
Thanks, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
150 years ago, in early September 1862, Major General Thomas Hindman set forth from the Arkansas River Valley with a mixed bag force of around 6,000 soldiers from Arkansas, the Indian Territory, Texas, and Missouri to establish a Confederate presence in southwest Missouri. A Missouri officer had told him, "A move of your forces even this far into Missouri would exert a moral influence throughout the state that would be very favorable to us." Though Hindman would be ordered back to Little Rock on September 10, his force terrified some wide-eyed Union officers in Missouri, who reported that it consisted of 30,000 men. The little army would maintain its position throughout September before being forced back into Arkansas the following month. To learn more about Arkansas history and the 150th anniversary of the American Civil War, visit ArkansasCivilWar150.com. The Arkansas Civil War Sesquicentennial Commission is an agency of the Department of Arkansas Heritage. I'm Mark Crist.
The Friends of Buckley Public Library will be celebrating their annual La Fiesta at the Donald W. Reynolds Center in Poteau, Oklahoma, Thursday at 5:30 p.m. There will be a silent auction, live auction, and great Mexican food as support will be generated for the new Patrick Lynch Public Library, now under construction. For more information, 918-647-3833.
The Fayetteville Council of Neighborhoods invites the public to submit questions for its mayoral forum that will take place September 27th at 6:30 p.m. at City Hall. If you have questions about the Council of Neighborhoods or the September 27th mayoral forum, you can contact the chair, Richard Russell, at 263-7821. Also would like to remind you that the music department at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith will host a pair of jazz performances just days apart, September 24th and 28th. A four-piece combo comprised of UAFS faculty and alumni will perform Monday. The Jazz Band and Jazz Cats Vocal Ensemble will take the stage Friday. That's the 24th and 28th of this month. For more information, 788-7972.
The Huntsville Volunteer Fire Department is seeking applicants. Applicants must be over 18 years of age, hold a high school diploma or equivalent, live in the Huntsville Fire District, and be able to pass a background check. Those interested should contact the fire district by calling 479-738-2321 or send an email to huntsfd@madisoncounty.net.
This is Ozarks at Large. The 2012 Symphony of Northwest Arkansas season opens Sunday afternoon. Sono's music director, Paul Haas, has constructed a second full season opener with heavyweights on the program, including Wagner, Barber, and Brahms. He visited the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio yesterday to talk about Sunday's concert.
Pretty much every concert you want to treat like a new beginning. You know, you want an audience to come out to see you, to sit there, and have that first moment be something new, be something unusual, be something that carries them forward on a new trajectory. And so, I mean, of course, I want the first concert of the season to be a home run, and this one will be. I mean, this has got some incredible music, some great trajectories to follow, and it's very exciting. Got some of the most exciting moments in music history in it. And yeah, so I think every concert for me is a new beginning, and this just especially so because it is the first concert of the season. Very exciting for us.
Wagner will be first.
It will be.
Those are some beautiful notes that open the overture.
Oh, I got to tell you, this piece is amazing. I mean, this from the very beginning. It's a piece about motion. It's a piece that goes somewhere. You know, the opera, of course, is pilgrimage to Rome and back. Asking for forgiveness, and there's this whole sense of going somewhere, always being on the move, and that comes across loud and clear in this piece. You start out with, as you mentioned, this just gorgeous beginning, woodwinds all soft and hushed, and then it quickly grows into something very different. But that music at the beginning comes back at the end. It's just this wall of sound that hits you and just doesn't give up. It's one of these miraculous moments where it just keeps building and building until you think it can't build anymore, and then it just keeps on going. You know what I mean?
Yes. You mentioned the woodwinds beginning, but the brass gets their day in the sun there.
Oh, they're right at the end. I mean, they are that wall of sound. And, of course, while they're playing that, you have the violins all playing this incredibly difficult passage. Very, very fast notes. You can't imagine anything more powerful than this music at the end of the Tannhäuser Overture. It is literally a wall.
Somewhat different is the Brahms.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it still has the sense of of an astonishing ending. I mean, that they have in common. They have this, well, they also have this sort of beginning, this sort of tranquil, luscious beginning that they both share. Of course, very different journeys in the interim, but then the finale of the Brahms is just one of those go-for-broke, one of those, you want to stand up at the end of that one. You can't help yourself.
Brahms took about 15 years to write his first symphony, and then this one was...
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, he had this sense of being in the shadow of Beethoven. He was sort of set up for that by Schumann, who announced him as basically the next Beethoven. So he had some pretty big shoes to fill. And as you know, he was very, that made it hard for him. He couldn't have his first symphony be anything other than, you know, Beethoven's 10th, have it be worthy of that tradition. And so, as you mentioned, he had a really difficult time putting that first one out. But then once that was done, sort of the floodgates opened, took him just a little bit of time to get this one out. And it's a totally different feel from the first symphony. It's all about, imagine being in the Alps, being out with these grand vistas, just the sense of beauty of nature that you get from the piece, yet with this thrilling, very human drive that you get throughout.
So Wagner is beginning, Brahms is concluding.
That's true. There must be something else.
Yes, there must be something else.
Yeah, we're doing Barber's Violin Concerto, which was written in the last century and 1930s, and it's one of these pieces that's just, I think it starts out with incredible emotion. It starts out with beauty. It's like taking a bath in love. You know what I mean? It's got this incredible sound to it. We're going to have our concert master, Winona Fifield. She's playing the solo part. She's an extraordinary player. I cannot wait to work with her on this. And so it starts out just so lush, and the first two movements, I mean, of course they have their thrilling, faster moments, but it just has this sense of luxury, you know? And then you get to the last movement, and luckily your listeners won't be able to see what I'm doing right now, but to have notes that go this fast, you know, that's fast.
Yes.
And to have a violinist play those notes, you know, at 100% accuracy, you know, this is not Major League Baseball. This is you actually have to hit every single note.
Hit 1,000.
Yeah, exactly. So it's she is incredible, a virtuoso player, and this last movement is famous for being incredibly difficult. And you know what? The orchestra, the strings in the orchestra have to play exactly what she does at what point. So everyone in the orchestra has to be nailing those notes too.
When did you first have a conversation with her that this would be on the program?
Oh, this was during the last season when I was coming up with the programs. And we worked together to figure out what the best fit for her was while still being the best fit for the audience and the programs that I already had going. So this Barber just seemed like a perfect fit. It's one of the most beautiful pieces out there. Just feel really lucky to be able to work with her, to be able to bring this incredible music to Northwest Arkansas. It's just it's one of those pieces. You just got to listen to it.
I know you hate to pigeonhole. This one's called Masterworks, but this is a for lack of a better word, for lack of better descriptor, a traditional sort of program this Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, basically, when I took this job, I came with the understanding and with the privilege, honestly, of giving people what they want to hear, you know? And so I want people to be able to listen to the most incredible works ever composed. That's part of my job. And so, sure, do I introduce people to newer works, to works that were written a couple of years ago, to works that were written for the concert? Sure, I do that. But part of what Sona is about, a big part, is giving Northwest Arkansas what they're going to love. And they're going to love this concert.
Paul Haas is the music director of the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas. Sona's second full season will open Sunday afternoon with a 3 o'clock performance of Wagner, Barber, and Brahms. There will be a pre-concert conversation that takes place at 2 and is free to all ticket holders. This is Ozarks at Large.
Iran's got the UN's nuclear inspectors going in circles over one site in particular, Parchin, where they suspect Tehran tested blasts with uranium metal.
It would be as close to a smoking gun of an Iranian nuclear weapons program as we're likely to find.
I'm Neil Conan. What we know and don't know about Iran's nuclear program, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon in just a few minutes at 1 o'clock on KUAF 91.3 FM.
The 5th Annual Swing for the Cure Golf Classic will be held Saturday, October 6th at Shadow Valley Country Club in Rogers. This 18-hole scramble tournament includes breakfast, lunch, prizes, and more. Proceeds to benefit Susan G. Komen Ozark. More information is available at komenozark.org or 750-PINK.
There is a giveaway on Friday on this program.
Yep.
Your chance to win tickets to every single one of the 10x10 arts performances at Walton Arts Center. The 10x10 series, it can be a series. You do not have to buy it as a series.
No.
But we're giving you a chance to win, and I think it's actually this year, 11
Is
events.
It?
Yes.
We'll just have to double check. But the idea with the 10x10 art series is that originally there were 10 shows, and they were all had tickets available for $10,
right,
making the arts more affordable for everyone. And it's very
– it's an eclectic mix.
It's an eclectic mix.
I know that on October 19th, the Tokyo String Quartet will be performing. LA Theater Works is coming back. They will be doing a radio theater version of Jane Eyre.
Mm-hmm. Plena Libre is a Puerto Rican group. They'll be here September 20th, so that's pretty soon, too.
Yes.
Circa is another one. I always enjoy the circus type things mm-hmm. that they bring through.
And also, it goes all the way into next June. The final one, the 11th one of the 10x10 series, will be the Artisphere Orchestra for the third
right.
annual Artisphere. So you can win the entire package. I think it's 2 tickets. So you
mm-hmm.
22 tickets. In all, to all these events, and you can register right now online at
yep.
KUAF.com.
That's all you got to do is go fill out a couple of things, your name, your information, and we'll do the drawing for that on Friday here on Ozarks at Large
Dance,
at noon.
Dance Brazil also included.
Right.
And several others. So you can find out all the information about what's there at waltonartcenter.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 11th of September, 2012. It was on this date, 1941, ground was broken for the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia. In July of that same year, Brigadier General and Engineer Brian B. Somerville had summoned two of his subordinates. He told them to draw up plans for an office building 4 stories tall to cover 4 million square feet and to house 40,000 War Department workers. Gave them the assignment on a Thursday afternoon, said he wanted the plans on his desk by Monday. Plans were there on Monday. Construction began 2 months later. 16 months later, the Pentagon was complete. It was on this date, 1792, the Hope Diamond was stolen. It came from a mine in India. It was originally about 112 carats, but King Louis XIV of France had it recut into a 67-carat heart shape, which he wore on a ribbon around his neck. But during the French Revolution, on this date, 1792, the treasury was looted, the crown jewels were stolen, and the Hope Diamond was lost. It turned up in London 20 years later. A stone which is rumored to be cursed. It is said that the merchant who sold it to Louis XIV had stolen it from a statue of a Hindu idol. He was later torn apart by wild dogs, and subsequent owners have suffered financial ruin and personal tragedies and violent deaths. It now rests in the Smithsonian Institution in Washington. It's the birthday of William Sidney Porter, O. Henry, born Greensboro, North Carolina, 1862. O. Henry, who said, "You can't write a story that's got any life in it by sitting at a writing table and thinking. You've got to get out into the streets, into the crowds, talk with people, and feel the rush and throb of real life. That's the stimulant for a story writer." It's the birthday of D.H. Lawrence, David Herbert Lawrence, born Eastwood, England, 1885, author of Sons and Lovers, Women in Love, Lady Chatterley's Lover. D.H. Lawrence, who wrote, "No form of love is wrong so long as it is love, and you yourself honor what you are doing." And it's the birthday of Jessica Mitford, born in Oxfordshire, England, 1917, one of the six Mitford sisters who grew up in a wealthy right-wing family. Two of the sisters became fascists. Jessica and her sister Nancy became socialists. They traveled in high circles. When they were very young, they met Adolf Hitler and thought about assassinating him and did not, and bitterly regretted it years afterward. Here's a poem for today by Charles Darling, entitled At the County Fair, 1956. For a nickel, a machine called an expression of faith would take your dime and squash it. All tubes and gears and lights, the thing would groan, squeak, fart, smoke, and finally drop a little silver oval in your hands, hot as a pistol, with Jesus' face on one side and the Lord's Prayer on the other. I took my medallion home for Grandma, but she wouldn't keep it because it was Catholic and had trespasses instead of debts, and left out the part about the kingdom and the power and the glory. She gave it back, and I went downtown and set it on the railroad track. And after the train went by, I had a piece of silver, smooth as glass. And that says something about power and glory, by God. At the County Fair, 1956, poem by Charles Darling from The Saints of Diminished Capacity, published by Second Wind Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Reputation.com, a service for managing businesses' online image by working to improve how they look in search engines and review sites, Reputation.com. Produced by Nick Vetter, written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Ranger's Pantry Pet Food Bank is having the Pounds for Paws food drive to stock the pantry shelves for autumn. Ranger's goal is to raise at least 2,000 pounds of pet food by September 28th. Ranger's Pantry will be accepting dry pet food and monetary donations to meet this goal. For donation sites or for more information, 479-575-8260.
And the month of September is designated as Hunger Action Month. You can do your part in the fight against hunger by making a contribution to a local community food bank or by visiting hungeractionmonth.org. The Sack Lunch program in Fort Smith is funded entirely through private donations, grants, and continued support from events such as this. For more information, 252-1360.
A night of art, food, music, and more will benefit the Community Creative Center September 29th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Stone Chapel at Matt Lane Farm on Highway 45. It will include music and a buffet and drinks and a silent auction of live art portraits. For cost or more information, 479-422-5600 or waltonartcenter.org.
Can you tell it's September?
Yeah, I was
something
about to say
every
it's,
day.
It's September.
That's great. That's great.
Oh, September. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Harmony.
Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Harmony?
It is northwest of Clarksville.
Okay. I've been there, or I've driven through it, or
Johnson County.
Something to that effect.
You've been all the places.
Not quite.
You went to all the places this weekend.
Well, I went to Lakeview, which is in Baxter County. It's where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Town of about 700 people.
Find anything interesting?
But it's a town of 700 people, but feels more like a town of 70 people.
Sure.
It was my mother's 80th birthday, so it was actually, you'll be happy to know.
I am happy.
The biggest weekend that Lakeview has all year, because it was the 17th annual Lakeview Chili Cook-Off.
Did you participate?
Well, I eat chili.
Yes. Naturally.
Yes,
I didn't expect
course.
You to
no.
cook the chili.
No, and it was a good time. And then I was complaining a little bit to myself Saturday night because Lakeview, nobody in Lakeview gets ESPNU, where the Arkansas-Louisiana-Monroe football game was. So I listened to it on the radio and quit complaining around 10:30 or 10:45.
Yes, it's okay. I was definitely out on Dixon Street watching it, and The place I was at got real quiet real fast,
yeah.
And there were a lot of people there, but got real quiet.
Should be loud, though, come Saturday afternoon when Alabama's in.
Oh, I think so. Tailgating and all that good stuff. What else is there? So much happening this weekend. It's ridiculous. I did take your advice, and I did go see Stuart Huff,
the stand-up comedian.
He was fantastic.
Good. I'm glad.
He was fantastic. I went to the late show on Friday, so it was a smaller crowd, but his set went longer, actually. What I loved is he didn't phone it in. I mean, he very much performed like he was performing for a crowd of 100, you know. And then he was, you know, talking to us and chatting with us. And he's like, well, I have a couple of things I'd like to work on. You guys want to hear it? We're like, sure. And so, but then he asked for feedback, which was kind of cool because I'm helping him with his set that somebody's going to hear later. So that was kind of fun. And then I went to Stomp, and I know you saw Stomp as well.
I saw Stomp Sunday afternoon. You went Saturday.
Saturday afternoon, yeah.
And that's the first time I'd ever seen the ensemble.
Me too.
I really liked it.
I did too. I kind of got made fun of because I told a friend of mine, I said, I was surprised how much stomping there actually was, which I know sounds silly because of the name, but I feel like whenever you see them advertised or talked about, they're always, you see the trash cans that they're hitting
right.
or you see the other strange everyday objects that they're making percussion with. And so it just hadn't occurred to me that there's actual stomping.
Yeah.
I know that sounds ridiculous. But
they should put that in the name. They should advertise
that. If only
that.
It was in the name.
Yes.
I'm just saying, you know, whatever. It was a fantastic time. I know you really liked the lighters. That was real cool.
Because it was visual. They're always visual, but it was a lot more visual fun, too, as well as the sound.
It was way more visual than I thought it would be. I thought, you know, the sound is paramount, but they definitely took their time to make sure that this looked visually stunning as well. So that was, I very much like that. And then Pole in the Ozarks, of course, turned out another great turnout. I liked this year because it was cooler. The last couple of years I've gone, it's been really, really hot. So this was incredibly comfortable. It was a very pleasant day. So it was really nice.
Did you help stomp the divots?
I did.
Good.
I did. I had not done that before, but I did do that, and that was a lot of fun.
And that benefited Lifestyles Incorporated.
It did. So
a big fundraiser for them.
Yes, it is.
Now, coming up this weekend, don't wish your life away.
Because
but
it's September,
weekend,
and there are plenty of things.
I do want to remind you that on Sunday, Sona opens its season, as you heard earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The concert is at 3. At 2 o'clock, I'll sit down with Paul Haas in Star Theater. And we'll have a conversation, about a 15-20-minute conversation about the program before that. That's free if you have a ticket. That begins at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon in Star Theater.
Yep. More things. More things?
More things.
In September.
Yeah.
We'll tell you more about those as we get closer.
That's right. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large, including a tour of a landfill. More fun than you might think.
Have a great Tuesday.